Welcome back to Everyday Heroes, a mini-series by Hero Devs where we explore the experiences of women in tech whose everyday effort builds bridges for others to follow. I'm your host, Wendy Hurst. The month of March in the United States is Women's History Month, and in this mini-series, we're chatting with some women in tech who share their journey of how they got here and where they want to go. Today, we're talking with Allison Borthman. Allison is a platform engineer whose 5 years in tech stretches across government and medical industries and into open source software. She joined us from Nebraska today. Allison, it's great to have you with us.
Great to be here.
Welcome.
Thanks.
So Allison, what did you want to be when you grew up and how did you get into tech?
Oof. Okay. Honestly, I don't ever remember wanting to be anything. I think I just wanted to exist and probably read books. So that was pretty much it. And I got into tech in sort of a roundabout way. I went to college right out of high school. I actually studied business administration and I failed out of college my first year because I just never went to class. I thought it would be great. And, that was kind of a learning experience for me, definitely a learning experience. So I took some time off and I volunteered. I coached a volleyball team. I worked as a nursing aide and it was good. And then one day I just woke up and I was like, I want to go back to school. And I didn't want to go in undeclared. So I chose cybersecurity because I thought it would be cool to be a hacker, except I also use like the same 3 passwords for everything. So obviously I was not cut out to be a cybersecurity professional and took a web development class though for cybersecurity. And I fell in love with that half of it. And that's kind of where my story started.
That's awesome. So what did you think it was going to be like in tech before you joined the workforce?
I thought it was just a lot of like building pretty screens and websites. And like I said, since I started out in security, I thought it would be more along the lines of like hackers and making sure, you know, your data is safe and everything like that.
Okay. How does being in tech now compare to what you thought it was going to be?
I think on the day-to-day, it can be summed up with like, you never know enough information. Tech is always changing. There's always something new going on. There's always a new bug you encounter or there's a new way to do things. And that is the biggest thing is that like I am constantly learning and I didn't expect that. It's been great because I love to learn and I love to be challenged, but I think tech is just all about innovation and making sure you stay up to date with what's coming out.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about what your day-to-day feels like right now.
Chaos. chaos. Yeah. We get to do some really cool projects here at Hero Devs and I really enjoy it, but you know, I've gone from working on a Vue platform to working on jQuery, to Bootstrap, to Angular. And so it's just been a lot of change. And like I said, a lot of learning because my primary focus was Vue. And so switching over to like Angular, Bootstrap, or Drupal I spend a lot of time in now. It's been a lot and chaotic, but a good kind of chaos.
Okay. Of all of the open source software that you've worked on so far, do you have a preference for one or the other?
Vue 100%. I love Vue.
Tell me why.
So it's the first front end framework that I learned, and I think I just will always have a soft spot for it because when I worked on it, I got to do a lot of cool projects with it, and it was really where my strengths grew and where I learned the most. And it really set the foundation for everything else in my career.
Okay. What's something that you've created using Vue?
So when I worked for the Department of Defense, I worked on a project that helped identify prisoner of war remains. And part of that was a dental aspect for the anthropologist to be able to put in dental charts and then put in any dental remains that were found so you could match them and then they could send these bodies home. And so I got to, from start to finish, from conception to delivery, I got to draw out all the screens. I got to create an SVG chart for a dental chart that allowed them to interact with their dental chart and make it a better user experience. And then all of the API calls and everything needed to save the data. That was the coolest thing that I'm most proud of.
That's cool. And you used Vue to do that.
I did.
That's awesome. Are there any other applications that you've created or helped work on that you also liked?
We have a Vue platform here, actually, our internal platform. That's been a lot of fun because it's a smaller team, so it's definitely more creative liberties that I get to do and I get to try. So that's been a lot of fun as well.
Okay. Well, as we know from experience, personal experience, just noticing, women are definitely the minority in tech. So I kind of want to kind of feel out maybe a time or experience that you noticed the difference between being a man or a woman in this kind of industry and workplace.
So mine actually started out when I was still in school, when I didn't even really understand what being in tech meant. I was sitting in a tech class and the professor asked me a question. Well, he asked the class a question and I raised my hand and I answered. And it was a question that we covered in the book and we had done the reading on the night before and everything like that. And it was a tech question and I answered it and I answered it correctly. And the guy sitting across from me, he looked at me and he was like, how did you know that answer? And I was like, well, it was in the reading. He's like, yeah, but how did you know it? And I was just like, it was in the reading. Like, I don't know. And it wasn't until looking back on it that I was like, yeah. And I had more problems with him throughout the course of the semester, but it was just like, okay, you just don't expect me to be able to keep up or understand the answer as well. So that was kind of my first taste of it. And it's not the best.
I think it's normal to feel disappointed by that. My goodness. So that was in school. Did you feel like when you were in school, you were supported to join the tech community?
Luckily, yes. So at the time that I was in school, my college was doing ACMW, which is Association for Computing Machinery Women Club. And they actually had a very big following. I think there were like 20 of us. It was all the girls in the college at the time, joined this club. And it was good. It was a great environment to be a part of. And so I did feel a lot of support when I was in college, luckily.
That's great. How about in the workplace? Have you ever encountered a situation that you felt either positively or negatively influenced your career just because you identify as a woman?
Yeah. So at my previous company, we had some outdated software that, you know, like most things, it was built by somebody that had left and there were no comments and no directions and no documents. And so nobody knew how it worked, but it was like a fundamental piece of how the company made money. And I spent 6 or 7 months tasked to it, to looking into it, researching it, and just figuring out how it works and how we can update it without breaking our entire sales process. And I became the subject matter expert on it, and I could answer pretty much any question on it. And I was very proud of that fact, and it made me feel good to be able to answer these questions. But then the day came where they also hosted, like, our solution architect hosted office hours where everyone could come in and talk to him. And one of my coworkers on my team was, he was working on a smaller part of it. And I had told him, I was like, hey, like, you can come ask me any of these questions, right? And he was like, yeah, okay, thank you. And I was like, okay. And then we both happened to be in office hours at the time together with the solution architect. And it was just 3 of us. And he started asking his questions to the architect. And even though I was in the room and everyone kind of acknowledged that I was the person to ask. And so what ended up happening was that he would ask the architect. The architect would give his best answer, but then he'd be like, well, but Allison can correct me on this. And it just, it went on that for like 4 or 5 questions. And each time it was, he asked the architect referred back to me, and then I answered. And it was just like, it was just such an odd moment, but I took it and I was like, you know what, this is where really dedicating myself to my work and making sure I own everything has come in handy, because it made me feel proud that even though I was obviously experiencing a little bit of sexism, the architect acknowledged and respected what I had worked on, and that made me feel better, and it was good in a roundabout way. Yeah.
That makes sense. That makes sense. What do you think would need to change in order to make that situation more comfortable, regardless of gender?
What do you mean?
By that, I mean the person who was asking the questions probably didn't realize that they were doing that. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering what you think about what would need to change in that situation to make it so that he would more naturally turn toward the person who actually has the answers to the questions, and maybe focus a little bit less on the gender piece of it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Honestly, I think sometimes in tech, there is this stigma that, well, not stigma, but there is this understanding that, you know, people who have been in tech for a long time know all of the answers and always know best. And here's the thing, like, I work with some very smart people, but they sometimes don't know the answers. And they have me beat in my career by a lot of years, but even they have to look things up. And I think sometimes we in tech just need to take a minute and be like, again, tech is always changing. You know, they have to stay up to date just like we have to stay up to date. And so I think in that moment, he just needed to understand that, yeah, just because this guy had 15 years of experience on me doesn't mean that he is the expert just because he's been in it longer, because he actually had never even worked on the software. Software is such a, like, so individualized from piece to piece that there's no way that you can just look at something and be like, yeah, I know everything about this. You have to work in it. You have to be in it. And I think that's the thing. I think someone who has been in it for a year can know the same amount about a certain thing that someone who has been in it their entire career can know.
That makes sense. More experience doesn't mean knowing all the answers. I like that perspective. Yeah. That's really helpful. Well, experience sometimes can mean mentoring and training and sharing information with other people. and mentorship can definitely directly affect career paths. Can you talk about a time maybe when the absence or presence of female mentorship made a difference in your professional life?
Yeah, so I actually, I did an internship with a very big company once, and they themselves still did not have a lot of women in these roles, but one of the vice presidents of the, I think, technology division. It was one of those huge companies, so they have 10 million, right?
Right. But,
I got to interact with her, and as an intern, which was like kind of crazy, and I felt very special. But she set up time for us to meet, and she gave me some of the best advice that I've ever heard as a woman in tech, and that is probably one of the most positive experiences I've had with a mentor, woman mentor in my career.
Okay. Do you think that the advice that she gave you could help other people too? Like, are you willing to share that advice, or was it more specific to what you were doing?
I do think it is applicable. So she gave me a lot of advice, but the one that really stuck was that, like, as a woman in tech, don't volunteer to take notes. And that might seem simple, and you might be like, well, what's going on? And especially for me, like, I always want to help out and I always want to volunteer. And she was like, if you volunteer to take notes, you will always be looked at as the de facto note taker. And that is not your role. Like, you are not there to take notes for everybody and make sure everyone pays attention and gets the information. Like, you are there to be part of the conversation, not just to listen to everyone else. And so that is, to this day, like, unless I have a very firm standing and know where I am with my coworkers, I will not volunteer to take notes for anybody.
I've never heard that advice before. So my background is in project management. So my job actually is to take notes. So no one's ever given me that advice before, but I could see how that's valuable for your role.
Yeah.
Have you been in a situation where someone asked you to take notes and you just preferred to decline?
I did. So I was on a team with three men, and we were still like setting things up, and I got, we were like assigning out roles. And like, the thing was, it's like growing pains, right? Like, we were a small team. Somebody needed to take these roles, right? But all the three men got technical roles and I got scrum master, and I'm not a scrum master. And I felt that it was unfair that these three men got technical roles and responsibilities when I was set up meetings and set up the notes for the meetings and all of that. And I just went and I talked to the lead, and it was a very good conversation. And he was just like, you know, I didn't see it that way, and I hope you know that, like, it was just an oversight on my part. And I did not feel any malice from him. And so, like, it was just something that we just talked through, and then we went through. And then we made it a group effort to set up meetings and take notes and everything like that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. So you shared some good advice that you got from a mentor of yours. What's a piece of advice that you would give to women who want to get into tech?
Everyone's pretending. You know, imposter syndrome is a very big thing in tech. And I have struggled with it a lot until I got here. And like I mentioned before, like, I worked with some very smart, very well-respected people. But even they, like, make mistakes. Even they need to look stuff up. Even they need help with things. And I have been working on the platform, and a few months ago, one of my coworkers, who I think has been doing this longer than I've been alive, needed help with the platform, and I answered his question. And I was just like, again, just because he has more experience does not mean that he knew what was needed and I had that answer. And imposter syndrome is just, everyone's got it and everyone's pretending. You just gotta keep learning, so.
Interesting. What's a time in your life when you wished you had that advice, but you didn't?
My first job.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Oof. So I was given an amazing opportunity to work with the Department of Defense, but I literally had no coding experience whatsoever. I was in college when I started this job. I was halfway through my first semester. And realistically, my boss never should have taken a chance on me. And I'm very glad that he did, because I don't know where I'd be if I never started out at that role. And it was great in that aspect, and I will always be grateful for him for that. But it was, on the flip side, a very hard experience trying to be a full stack engineer and, you know, complete tickets, develop screens, develop backends, when I literally only knew HTML and CSS. And this was a full blown application that was being actively used by professional anthropologists. And it was a very hard experience. And I constantly was just having breakdowns because I was just like, I know nothing. Everyone seems to know the answer but me. And the thing is, I look back on it now, and even back then, like, my coworkers were great. I really respected them. But I thought that they were like gods and that I was just dumb and I didn't know anything. And looking back on it now, like, I've seen them since, and I'm just like, you guys are smart. But it was not that like crazy level where I was just so dumb. I just didn't know any better. I thought everyone should know these things, and I was just so behind on the curve. So,
interesting. Thank you for sharing that. So now that you have all this experience, you have a lot of experience in open source, kind of the sky's the limit, seems like it is for you. What do you want to do next?
I want to get my law degree focused in cybersecurity, and I want to be a CTO. Nice. Even though I just admitted on this podcast that I keep the three same passwords. So maybe, you know, I hurt my chances, but.
Well, out of fourth, it's fine.
Yeah.
In the rotation.
Yeah. Nobody will guess it.
Okay. So of those goals, law school, being a CTO, what could prevent you from reaching your goal? What are some obstacles that you face?
Oof. I wouldn't want to take time off, so I'd be trying to go to law school and working full time. And I am, for better or worse, my self-worth is occasionally tied to how well of I do at my job. And so I feel like if I let that slip, and you know, the same for school, I have to get good grades. So I feel like if I let either of those slip slightly, it would probably send me spiraling. So that would be a something I don't know how I'm going to accomplish quite yet. But, you know, we're going to wing it.
Wing it. Everyone's pretending, Allison. We all get it.
Everyone's pretending. Nothing really matters until you get done. So it's fine.
Oh, that's great. Well, thank you for being vulnerable and for chatting and for just being willing to share your experience and your advice. I hope you have a good day, and thanks for being on our podcast.
Thanks, Wendy.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.